Well, church, isn't it exciting to hear about the things that are happening in our body and our congregation? I'm so excited that we can be together on this journey together, to be walking through what I believe God is wanting to do in this town, to touch and to transform lives with the power and the presence of Jesus. I truly believe that with all my heart, and I'm so excited that we get to be a part of it together. What that looks like is, man, we get to do stuff that impacts students' lives in our youth group on Tuesday nights. Man, this last Tuesday night, let me tell you, I had the opportunity to be there on Tuesday night at youth. And on Tuesday night, the week leading up to it, I had, it was a student in our youth group that's involved with the International Student Exchange Program. So many people have international students and student exchanges that will come over for short periods of time. And so they got connected with their teacher, the school, and the teacher realized that the student was inviting so many friends to the youth group, and they were finding good connection there, and that there's something different happening at this church and this youth group. So they reached out to her and said, "Hey, can I get the information from you? Can I get the information from you from your church so I can figure out what's going on and I can start sending more students out that way?" And so this week I got four emails from four random parents that said, "Hey, I heard about your church through the school, and I'm going to send my international students to your youth group so they can connect with other students." And we had four first-time students from Spain, from Mexico, from Korea, and from Colombia that came out to our youth group. They were there. Guys, I couldn't believe it. The nations of the world are coming to Truro. The nations of the world are coming to Cornerstone, and they're hearing about Jesus, and they're having their lives transformed. And I couldn't believe it, that we got to be a part of that journey together. It's amazing. It's phenomenal. And I want to be a part of what God is doing in this town to touch and transform people like them. I got an opportunity as well to talk with that family, that one family. Everyone's got one, close to you but far from God. That's your one. And I believe this year in our fall festival, God's got one that he wants you to invite out to say, "Would you come and experience something different, to experience a community and a church that loves you, that welcomes you in, that wants to make a difference in this town?" Because that story, that invite, might be the difference for your one this year. I believe that with all my heart. Just like it was for that one family that came into Cornerstone and is still part of this community and still part of our family. And then lastly, that growth group. Man, I have seen community built. I've seen relationships built up. I have seen people go deeper in their walk with God through growth groups. And I believe that if you will connect to a growth group this year, that God will make a difference in your life as he begins to take you deeper and help you realize what your call and your purpose is this side of eternity. I'm believing that with all my heart. God is doing something in this town, and he's doing something in this church, and I'm going to be a part of it. Amen? Amen? Amen. Well, we're going to turn to the Word of God this morning as we open up our Bibles here today. Would you open up your Bible with me, if you have it with you, to Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel chapter 47. And the title of my message today is Go Deeper. Would you turn to somebody and tell them, "Go deeper" this morning?
Go deeper.
Go deeper. Turn to somebody else. Touch somebody this morning. Tell them, "Go deeper." Go deeper this morning. Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel chapter 47, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation here this morning. And at the top of my chapter here, there's a little heading there. I like this heading, which is great. And we're going to come back to this in a section. The heading of my chapter is The River of Healing. If you're there, say, "I'm there." If you're not there, just ignore that and let's continue on anyways. Chapter 47, verse 1. In my vision, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and there I saw a stream flowing underneath the east side of the temple door and passing to the right side of the altar on its south side. And this man brought me outside the wall of the north gateway, and he led me around the eastern entrance. And there I could see the water flowing out to the south side of the east gateway. Measuring as he went, he took me along the stream for 1,750 feet, and then he led me across, and the water was up to my ankles. And then he measured off another 1,750 feet, and he led me across again. This time, the water was up to my knees. After another 1,750 feet, it was now up to my waist. Then he measured another 1,750 feet, and the water was too deep to walk across. It was deep enough to swim in, but too deep to walk through. And he asked me, "Have you been watching, son of man?" Then he led me back along the riverbank. And when I returned, I was surprised by the sight of many trees growing on both sides of the river. And he said to me, "This river flows east through the desert into the valley of the Dead Sea. The waters of this stream will make the salty waters of the Dead Sea fresh and pure. There will be swarms of living things wherever this water and wherever this river flows. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its waters will become fresh. Life will flourish wherever this water flows. The title of my message this morning is Go Deeper. And we're going to be talking over the next couple weeks about what this looks like for our lives and we as a church are called to go deeper. But would you pray with me this morning as we just turn our attention to hearing what God has to say to us today? Well, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that you want to cause life to flourish wherever we go. We thank you, God, that you want us to be difference makers in this community, in this town, in our homes, and in our workplaces. We thank you, God, that you've called us deeper, God, not just to experience a deeper life for ourselves, but also to make a difference from where you've put us. And so, Lord, this morning, we just ask for your attention. We just ask that you give us attention to give to you. Lord, we ask that you give us ears to hear and a heart to receive, God, what it is that you are wanting to say. God, I just ask you help me this morning by your Holy Spirit to communicate this effectively so that, God, we might see something happen in this town that makes a difference. Jesus, we just welcome you to come. Lord, I just confess my need of you this morning. I confess that apart from you, none of this matters. I was even reading in my devotions this morning in Exodus chapter 33. Moses says, God, apart from you going with us, we're not distinct. It's in your going with us that we are distinct from any other people in any other place of the earth. So Lord, would you go with us this morning? Go with us, God, so that we might make a difference wherever we go. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree with me, will you say amen? Amen? Amen. I want to start with a question this morning, and it's simply this. What if God was calling you deeper to make a difference in life this year? This last year, Alandra was working in the school system with a kid that needs a little extra help. She worked as an educational assistant. And this year, she's working at a junior high school with teenagers. It's a little bit different, a little bit scary. But last year, she got to work with an elementary student. And part of the elementary system is a really great system they got set up there. Is they're able to take the kids to the pool a couple times a week. And so they go swimming once a week and get to hang out with them. And, you know, it sounds like a lot of fun. You get to go swimming, you know, a couple times a week. But how many know swimming with children is not as fun as it sounds? Anybody? Come on. We'll pray for you after service. Thank you for that hand. Thank you very much. This is good. We understand. Swimming with children is not as fun as it sounds, especially, you know, when they're developing skills and maybe they need a little extra assistance and they may be a little bit scared of the water and these sorts of things. And so that was Alandra's kid that she got to work with and to help and to work with this year. And so he was learning, you know, life skills, confidence, you know, taking risks and exploring his personal limits. That's what swimming can really teach in that context. But Alandra's kid, he was terrified of the water. He'd never been swimming before, and he really did not like going in the water. So to get him in the pool in the first place was a bit of a step. And then to go maybe a step deeper up to his knees and to his waist was even scarier after that. And then to begin to go even deeper and to begin to swim to where his feet couldn't touch the bottom, he did not want to do that. Now, of course, we're not going to throw kids in the pool if they don't know how to swim. That's child abuse. We give them life jackets, and we make sure that they have the things that they need in order to make sure that they're staying afloat, and then they're not going to be in any danger. And so he had a life jacket on. He's perfectly safe. He's perfectly within reach of Alandra. He can take care of him. But he was terrified to go deeper than what he could touch. He was terrified to go into the deep end. And the funny thing is, that's where all his friends were. All his friends are hanging out in the deep end. That's where all the slides go into the deep water. That's where the floaty mats are. That's where all the toys are. They're in the deep end with his friends and with all those different things that are out there. And there's greater joy and there's greater fun out there in the deep end. But here's the thing. He prefers to stay where it's shallow. He prefers to stay where he's in control of what's going on here. And so often in your life and mine, I think we can find ourselves in the shallow end. Have you noticed this? And we can find ourselves in shallow friendships, maybe. You know, it's just an inch deep. We never talk about anything except sports and movies, you know? Or you can find yourself in shallow relationships where it's like, man, I don't know if we're actually going anywhere with this. We've been dating for how long now, and what is the point of this relationship? What are we really accomplishing? You know, we find ourselves in shallow interactions. I mean, social media, do I need to say any more? Right? You put a like on social media, and that's just, this is all my depth I have. And the result, then, of these shallow moments in life is that we have shallow joy, We have shallow contentment, and we've got a shallow faith. And you know, I think for many of us, we know there's something more. Man, we know there is more depth to life than what we've been experiencing. I want more, a deeper sense of purpose, man, a deeper sense of belonging, a deeper sense of peace. I want a deeper life. I don't know about you, but so often I think it's easier for us to stay where our feet can touch the ground. You know, man, we stay stuck in shallow relationships. We stay stuck in these shallow conversations and in shallow faith, and we never get to really experience this, the deeper and meaningful life that God is calling us into. A life of purpose, a life of joy that really makes a difference in our heart, in our home, and in our church. Now, we talk about this often here at Cornerstone: heart, home, and church. Because, you know, we believe that Jesus cares more than just about your Sundays, but he cares about your Mondays and every day after that as well. Amen? Come on, anybody? I believe Jesus cares more about just my Sundays. I believe he cares about my Mondays. I believe he wants to make a difference in my Wednesdays and my Thursdays as well. And so when we talk about heart, home, and church, we're talking about the way that Jesus wants to impact every area of life. Your heart, that's you. Your heart is your motivations. That's your actions, your purpose, your behaviors. It says talking about your personality. Is Jesus affecting that? And then he wants to begin to flow out from that to affect your home. And when we're talking about your home, we're not just talking about the place you live. We're talking about the places you live, the places you work, the places you play. So we're talking about your home and your workplace. We're talking about your school, or your neighborhood, your community. This is your friends. This is your family. This is your circle of influence. And then lastly, we talk about church, how God wants to begin to infect your church. And this has to do with the place where we gather to give back and to grow in our walk with God. And this is your faith. And so we believe that as a church, Jesus wants to give you a deep and meaningful life that impacts your heart, impacts your home, and changes your church. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, man, the thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But man, I've come to give you a rich and meaningful life. A rich and meaningful life, a satisfying life. But so often, man, so often we're scared, or we're comfortable, or because we simply don't know, and we just stick out in the shallow end. We find ourselves in this shallowness of life, and we never get to experience, man, that kind of life that Jesus is talking about. I don't know about you, but I want to experience that kind of life. Because so often I find myself missing out on that. Man, my purpose in life just feels shallow. Is this just all there is? You know, and I find my relationships are just an inch deep. Where's the authenticity? Man, I find myself, man, my faith doesn't really seem to make a difference. Pastor talks about having faith that impacts my Monday. Man, it doesn't even impact my Sunday. What am I supposed to do about that? What am I supposed to do about that? And we miss out on the depth of relationship, purpose, and meaning that God wants to take us into. You know, when Andre and I moved to Truro, it was hard. Those first couple weeks, man, those first couple months, to build connections, to build relationships with people, it's really difficult. I don't know how many of you guys have moved a long distance, but to move away from all you know and all your family, to have to plant yourself in a new place, it's really tricky. It's hard to build those connections and those relationships that really matter. I really want to encourage you, church. Pastor Janetta just moved here, and she's in the same boat that we were. Church, would you reach out to her? Would you reach out to her and say hello? Have her over for tea. Have her over for coffee. Bring her into your home and just say, I want to get to know you, just to build some connections with you, because it's really hard. And when Alandra and I first moved here, one of the things we really had trouble with is building connections. And then, man, we were praying, we were believing that God wanted to give us connections, and we connected with this other couple in town. Same age, they'd also moved from out west. They were also working kind of in a church-related setting, and so we're like, wow, this is amazing. So we got to get to know them, and we hit it off right away, really great. And then as we kept seeing them again and again over a couple weeks and months, we began to realize that, man, we're not going anywhere with this. All of our conversations just stay right here, just an inch deep. Man, we never go any deeper. And, you know, we're talking about, like, we're trying to tell them about the issues in our lives. And, like, hey, would you pray with us? Would you encourage us with us? We want to tell you about the things that we're struggling with and whatever. And it never went deeper. And we quickly became discontent with the shallowness of those relationships. And I have a hunch this morning that I'm not the only one here that's discontent with shallow. I'm not the only one here that's discontent with the shallowness of life. We all crave something more. God made you for more than what you are experiencing. And I don't know about you, but I want to live a life of purpose on purpose. I don't know about you, but I want to be surrounded by people who have life-giving conversations and actually talk about things that matter. I don't know about you, man, but I want a faith that's more than just about my Sundays, but has roots deep enough to hold me through my Mondays and deal with the storm that, man, I know is coming on Wednesday. Come on, anybody. You know a storm's coming on Wednesday? I know it is. Because I believe that God is calling each of us deeper into a deep and meaningful life that makes a difference in this world. A life that really matters. And so I want to bring us back to that question we started with this morning. That question is simply this. What if God was calling you deeper to make a difference in life this year? And hey, what if the results of that caused you to go deeper and walk with God? What if that begins to change the way you think about yourself? What if it then begins to, you know, bring new health and life out of your relationships and out of your marriage? And what if the result of you and I choosing to go deeper with God in this season begins to touch the ones you love, begins to transform your walk with God, and begins to bring a new depth to your heart, to your home, and to your church? Because here's the truth that you and I need to understand this morning. God is calling us deeper to bring life wherever we go. And I believe if you understand this truth this morning, you'll begin to experience a deeper life in every aspect you have. Because I don't know about you, but I'm pretty discontent with shallow. So it just was Ezekiel. Ezekiel was too. You know, Ezekiel was a normal guy. We read in the first introduction of the book, if you start on the first pages, that he was actually just a normal guy that God was reaching out to, and he's in a really hard situation of life. You see, when the book begins, Ezekiel is a refugee. And he's sitting in a hard season of life, in this dry season of life, far from his home, far from everything he knows. And he's in this really hard place, and things have not turned out like he thought that they would. At this point in life, he thought he'd be successful. He thought he'd have a cabin by the woods. You know, he thought he'd own his own house. He thought he'd have his debt paid off. But instead, here he sits in the dirt by this irrigation canal, feeling pretty dejected about where he is in life. And you know, I think some of us might feel that way this morning. Your life has not turned out the way you thought it would. You thought you, by this time in life, by the time you reach, you know, 30 or 40 or 60 or wherever you are today, that you'd be out of debt, you'd own your home, you'd have your dream job, you'd be married. And yet, just like Ezekiel, you're looking around at your life and you're thinking, man, this is not what I thought it would be. This just feels shallow at best. But what I've found to be true in my life is that in those places where I feel the most dry, that's where God speaks the most clearly. That's where he shows up most often in my life. And as Ezekiel is sitting in this dry place by this irrigation canal, check it out for yourself in Ezekiel chapter 1. God shows up in this really weird, miraculous way with these visions and with these dreams that we read throughout the book. And as you're reading throughout the book of Ezekiel, you'll begin to see all these dreams and these visions begin to show up. It's all these kind of crazy, confusing messages about angels and kingdoms and temples. And it can tend to be a little bit confusing if we don't understand this one thing. If you understand this one thing, it makes a lot of sense for a lot of the Old Testament. It's simply this. The Old Testament authors wrote with symbols a lot. They wrote, it's interwoven with symbols. It's interwoven with imagery that's rich and meaningful to them. Even just this last week, I was talking to a student in our youth ministry that said she was getting her learner's license, her driver's license. I was like, oh, that's great. That's so exciting. What are you looking on right now? And she opened her book. She says, I'm looking at all these signs in the book. I'm looking at all these different signs that are here and all these different symbols of what they mean for the road. You know, the rules of the road. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, left curve, you know, left bend or whatever, and all these different symbols that we have. And what those symbols help us to do is they help us to know what is on the road and to know what's coming up. These symbols help me to navigate to the road and get me safely to my destination. And so when we come to Ezekiel 47, we read this story about a temple and about some water and about some plants and some trees growing by the water. We need to understand that Ezekiel is using some symbols to show us that God is calling us deeper to make a difference wherever you go. That's what he's talking about here. And then we're going to see three main symbols in this passage this morning that will serve as our road signs along the way. And the three symbols are simply this. Number one, it's the temple. The temple is the place where God hangs out. It's the hot spot of God's presence. It's where God is. Number two, it's the river. The river is meant, it's the source of life, the thing that satisfies and meets your needs. And then number three, it's Ezekiel walking through this story. It's a picture of you and I as we choose to follow God's leading in our lives. And so when we read Ezekiel 47, verse 1, that in my vision, the man brought me to the entrance of the temple, and there I saw the stream flowing beneath the door of the temple. We need to understand that this is a symbol of life flowing out from where God's found. Because wherever God is found, that's where life is found. And so Ezekiel is led outside the temple, around the walls, and he confirms that, yep, that's the source of life. It's flowing from the temple. It doesn't come from a workplace. It doesn't come from a business. It doesn't come from a relationship or a bank account. No, the source of life is found where Jesus hangs out. And some of us here today, man, we've been searching for life in all the wrong places. Some of us here today, you've been searching for life and, you know, to quench your thirst in sports, in relationships, in sex, in money. And no matter how hard you try, you find you're just always coming up thirsty. Man, I just keep going to this again. But Jesus himself said, man, I am the source that satisfies. I am the only source that will truly meet your need. John chapter 4, verse 13. He says that if anyone who drinks the water will soon become thirsty again. Because, man, we go to these wells of money and sex and jobs and relationships. You will always find that you're thirsty again. But Jesus said, those who drink the water that I give them, man, they'll never be thirsty again. Because it becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Man, he'll meet your need, he'll forgive your past, and he'll give you a rich and meaningful future that carries on now forever and ever. And Ezekiel sees this. He sees that this life-giving water is flowing from where God's found. But it's one thing to see the water. It's another thing entirely to go swimming. How many know that? This summer I had a chance to go up to Camp Evangeline. And there's like a river running behind Camp Evangeline. It's a really nice river. And they've dug out this spot for swimming in the river. And it's a pretty good spot. You can go swimming. And it's kind of rocky, but it's nice. But some friends of mine were saying, hey, Zach, there's a better spot just a little bit up the river that we can go for a walk up to, and we can go in this swimming hole. I thought, oh, okay, sure, it sounds great. How far up? Oh, it's just like, you know, 2 minutes up the way. Half an hour later, we're walking up this river, and it's pretty rocky. You know, we're kind of making our way along, and there's some spots of the river that, you know, they're knee-deep areas, you know, knee-deep, and you're just kind of up there. You're trying not to twist an ankle in the rocks. There's some parts where it's a little bit deeper, and it's getting, you know, this midsection right here. This is the hardest section to get wet, you know. When you get in there, and it's just a little bit deeper, and you start to feel the current really begin to push you and pull you. And then we got up to the spot, and it was this swimming hole that kind of was naturally cut into the rocks there, that it was deep enough to completely submerge yourself in. And a couple of the boys, they were fishing in the water with little nets and catching little fish, and there's all sorts of trees and life growing around it. And walking up this river this summer, I was reflecting on that. It's exactly what was happening with Ezekiel here in the story. You know, he's walking through this water, and he's being called to go deeper, step by step, into the source of life and joy. He says, I want you to experience a deeper life, Ezekiel. Would you follow me into it today? And so when we read in verse 3 of this section, verse 3, so measuring as he went, he took me along this stream that's flowing from the temple for 1,750 feet. It's about, you know, 500 meters, give or take. And so he led me across, and the water was up to my ankles. Then he measured off another 1,750 feet, and he led me across again. And this time the water was up to my knees. And after another 1,750 feet, it was up to my waist. Then he measured another 1,750 feet, and the water was too deep to walk across. It was deep enough to swim in, but too deep to walk through. And, you know, we see a picture here of these different depths of the water that we can enter into. And, man, again, we're thinking about this symbolism that God is speaking to us about. And so the water was ankle deep. I mean, some of us are just ankle deep in the water, you know. You're just getting your feet wet. You're just checking out this church. You're just checking out this people. You're just checking out this Jesus thing. You're not really sure. And some of us have been ankle deep for a very long time. And if that's you today, I want to just to know that, man, this church is a safe place for you. to explore, to figure that out, to ask questions without being judged. So often Christians can come across as so judgmental. And I want you to know that this place is a place you can come and explore and just walk it out without being judged. You're welcome here. We've been saving a seat for you. So you can begin to take a step into the water and experience the Jesus that we know and that we've been following. And just like back at camp, though, you know, you can't go swimming in ankle-deep water. It's barely deep enough to drink from. And so God starts calling us deeper. And in verse 4, he says, man, come a little bit deeper. Now the water is knee-deep. And then it's waist-deep. And some of us are knee-deep in the water today. You know, it's deep enough for me to begin to feel the power of the river without getting swept away. You know, I don't want to be a crazy person after all. You know, I just want to just keep my feet firmly planted on the ground where I can control things. And so, you know, you begin to engage in worship a little bit more. Man, going knee-deep with God begins to look like you begin to attend a little bit more often. Man, maybe you begin to, you know, start reading your Bible. And as you do, you notice a change. You begin to notice a change that, man, I just find I've got more peace in my life. You know, and I'm less anxious. You notice that you're a little bit more loving and forgiving and kind. I don't know why, I just feel so much nicer to my family and my friends. And, you know, as you go deeper, you begin to notice that things that used to bother you no longer do, as you just find you are filling with God's love and grace and forgiveness in your life. And if now it's deep enough to drink from, and, you know, it's really experience the power of the river to feel those currents urging you onwards to see and experience, man, what can this river really do? But I've still got my feet on the ground. I've still got them firmly planted where I can choose to stay in the shallows without going any deeper. I can limit the depth of my life by stopping right here. Absolutely you can. You can choose to stop wherever you like. You can choose to go in a little deeper and say, no, this is too deep, and then come back out again. And then you won't get to experience the true power and life of the river. But for those that have the courage to let Jesus take them deeper, man, we see verse 5, that the water becomes this river deep enough to swim in. Some of you here today, man, you've had the chance to experience this deep and meaningful life. You've had moments at camp, maybe, or you've had moments that with God where you really tasted and seen the depth of God's love for you in Jesus. You've experienced that kind of deep and meaningful life, but for some reason you've said, I don't know if I want to go there, and you've stepped back out into the shallows. And I want to encourage you today, if that's you and you're finding yourself in this place where, man, your life feels shallow again when you know there's something more, would you go deeper this morning? Because I believe God is calling us deeper today. And as you choose to take a step, you find your past is just totally submerged in grace. You find your life is just saturated and surrounded by peace. Then you find your heart is just completely filled with love and with joy as God just takes you deeper and deeper into everything that God has for you. I just really feel this morning, somebody feels there's such guilt in your life. And you feel this guilt is keeping you from going deeper. You're not allowed to go deeper because why would God want me to? If that's you today, I want to encourage you this morning. Jesus washes over guilt. That's what the blood of Christ was all about. That's why he went to the cross, was to bear your guilt and to bear your shame. If that's for somebody here this morning, I just hope that can be an encouragement to you. You know, to go deeper, a life filled with purpose and meaning forever and ever. That's what Jesus said. My purpose is to come and give you a rich and meaningful life. You know, that's an abundant life that can't be measured. And man, it's a life that just keeps going on forever and ever. But I think it's so much more than that, too. Because just as God is calling you deeper to experience that kind of life, he's also calling us deeper to bring that life to other people. I'm going to repeat that this morning. Just as much as God is calling you and I deeper to experience a deeper life, he's also calling you and I deeper to bring that life to others that we experience in terms. Because watch this. Ezekiel's been swimming. He's been basking in the river. He's been just enjoying it. When suddenly, the guy that's been his guide turns to him and says in verse 6, check it out, verse 6, he says, hey man, have you been watching? Have you been paying attention to what's been happening as we've been kind of going out there? Because I want you to notice something that's been happening. As you've been going deeper, something has been happening wherever we go. Wherever we go, we see a change that begins to take place on the edges of the shore. And so he takes me back to the shore. He takes me back along the riverbank. And when I returned, I was surprised. I was surprised by the sight of many trees beginning to grow along both sides of the river. And he said to me, "Hey, look, man, this river that has been flowing, it flows through the desert. It flows into the Dead Sea. It flows into the valley. These waters of this stream will make salty waters of the dead fresh sea." Man, it's going to make them fresh. It's going to make them pure. There are going to be swarms of living things wherever the water of this river flows. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its waters will become fresh. And then this last line, life will flourish wherever this water flows. And I believe God is wanting us just to focus on that line here this morning as we go through this, because I believe that, you know, God is calling you deeper to bring life wherever you go. Man, this water flows into dry desert places. This water flows into the most lifeless situations. It flows through deserts and salty dead streams, and it completely transforms them to bring life out of dead and dry places. And you might feel the same in your life right now. Man, you might feel dry and dead on the inside. You might just feel saturated with sin. You might feel like there's simply no hope for you. But when you choose to follow Jesus deeper, he brings what's dead back to life as he meets your needs in him. But there's a second aspect to this that you and I need to understand today. Remember at the beginning I said the Bible's full of symbolism? I said at the beginning, the Bible's full of symbolism. And in the story, you and I are Ezekiel. We're taking steps deeper into the water. We're taking steps deeper into this deep and meaningful life. But through the lens of what Jesus has done, he takes this whole story and he flips it on top of its head. Because just as you and I are called to experience the source of life, we are also called to be a source of life to others. Check this out. John chapter 7. If your Bibles, turn with me. John chapter 7 with me today. John chapter 7, verse 37. Jesus is at this religious festival. He's with all of these religious people who are just doing church. They're just doing church the way they've always done church. And Jesus sees the dryness of it. He sees just the religiosity of it. He sees the practice of it. He sees there's no power in just doing church. And he says to this lines and says, he comes and he stands up and he shouts out on the last day of the festival. Verse 37, "Anyone who's thirsty may come to me. And anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures that declare, if you do this, if you come to Jesus and you drink, rivers of living water will flow from his heart." Wait, hold on a second. I thought the rivers of living water flowed from the temple. I thought the rivers of living water flowed from the place where God hangs out. Yeah, that's the twist. Because check this out. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 6:19, he says this, "Don't you realize your body is the temple? Don't you realize you're the temple?" And God's promise now to us is this, that we don't just get to experience God externally at a building or at a church or at a service, but that the very life-giving presence of God would actually fill us up from the inside and flow out from us to others. You and I are called to be hot spots of God's life-giving presence as it flows through us to bring life wherever you go. This water flows into dead relationships. Man, it flows into toxic workplaces. Man, this water flows into broken situations and messed up homes. This water flows into desert marriages. It flows into dry and lifeless people. And it completely transforms them as it brings life out of dead and dry places. I just love that last line, verse 9 of Ezekiel 37. Life will flourish wherever this water flows. Man, that life-giving water, it flows into our schools. It flows into our homes. It flows into our workplaces. Man, that water, it flows into back rooms, boardrooms, and bedrooms, because God is calling us deeper to bring life wherever we go, both in you and around you, to begin to touch your heart, begin to transform your home, and begin to completely mess up this church for Jesus. And you and I get to be those people that bring rivers of living water that flow from our hearts into our homes to touch those far from God. Now that's a deeper life. And I believe that God is calling us deeper to bring life wherever we go. But you can't flow out if you got nothing inside. You can't flow out of an empty cup. And I believe there's two next steps before us here today. Firstly, some of us here today, man, we're feeling pretty dry and pretty empty on the inside. You know, some of us here today, man, you're feeling like your relationships feel shallow. You've been feeling like, man, your life just has no depth. You feel just worn out, tired, and you're not even sure where to start. If that's you today, I believe God's calling us deeper. He's calling you deeper to quench your thirst in Him. Jesus said, "Come to me, whoever's thirsty, and drink, and have your need met in me." Have that longing in the deepest part of your soul for meaning and for purpose, have that be quenched in me. Or you have a choice to stay in the shallows, to stay where we are comfortable, to stay where things we know it and where we like it. But maybe you're here today and you've been flirting with Jesus. Man, you've just been in the shallow end for too long. And you realize it. Like, I know there's more. I know I can go deeper. But I want to just invite you today. God is calling you deeper to experience that new life in Him. You know, man, to trust Him with all you are, with your hopes, with your dreams, with your failures. All of that. And His promise to you is this. His promise is that if you will follow me, man, you'll never be thirsty again. I'll meet your needs. I'll fill your heart. I'll satisfy your soul. Man, trust me, follow me. And your thirst for meaning, for more, for love, for acceptance will be met in Jesus. Jesus is calling you to follow Him deeper. But secondly, I believe that God is calling us deeper as a church to bring life wherever we go. Man, just as some of you and I have experienced life together, man, so God is calling us to bring rivers of living water everywhere that we go, into dry and to helpless places. And here at Cornerstone, we often talk about our one person. I loved what Jocelyn said this morning about that one story from our fall festival. Man, that one person in your life, talk about that one person. And we talk about that one person because that one matters to God. Jesus leaves the 99 to go running after the one. He came running after you, but now He's also given you one. And He said, "I've put that person in your life, someone close to you but far from God, someone that is your one." And everybody's got one. And what if God was calling you deeper to make a difference in that person's life this year? What if God was calling you deeper to make a difference in that one person's life this year? What if your decision to go deeper meant that your one person gets to experience the life of God this semester? What if because of you, your spouse now comes to know Jesus? What if your friend finds hope for their life? What if because of your decision to go deeper, your kid finds the light in the darkness, even though they haven't seen it? Man, what if God was calling you deeper to make a difference for your one person far from God this year? Would you say yes? Would you go deeper then? Would you take a step deeper and say, "You know what? I'm going to attend that growth group about inviting people to church. You know what, Zach? I'm going to commit to attending more often. I've been missing out too much over summertime. I get that. You know what, Zach? I'm going to make a step today to say, I'm going to invite my friend to church. I'm going to ask him to come with me." Because I believe that God is calling us deeper to bring life wherever we go. And as we close today and the band returns, would you just pull that connection card out you got when you came in today? Just pull your connection card out real quick. On the back of that connection card, you'll see a couple next steps you can take today. And I believe God's calling us deeper. But I want to give you some practical ways that you can begin to do that here today. Man, number one, maybe you realize and you got to commit to church. You know, you've been away for family and for summer, and hey, that's great. You know, take some time to enjoy time with family. That's awesome. But now that you've come back, you've been realizing what you've been missing. And there's so much more for you if you would commit to following Jesus deeper. And over these next 2 weeks, we're going to take time to continue to go deeper with what it looks like with our time and with our talent and with our treasure. And maybe God is calling you deeper by committing to attend over these next 2 weeks of this Go Deeper series. If that's you, would you just check that box on there this morning? Maybe step number two, maybe you've been realizing you need to make more effort to reach those people in your life far from God. You know, you've been swimming in the river while people are dying from thirst on the shores. You know, and I wonder if God has given you that one person who's close to you but far from God. And you've got to get into that growth group this next week to begin to learn what it looks like to take a step towards them and to bring life to them wherever you go with them. Maybe God is calling you to go deeper this week by signing up for a growth group. And if that's you, would you just check that box about joining a growth group? And I'll send you more information even today so that you can begin to think about joining a group on Monday or Tuesday. And lastly, and most importantly, man, maybe you've been realizing you need Jesus in your life. Man, maybe you've been realizing your life has been nothing but dry and shallow, and now Jesus is calling you deeper. You came in today, and you've known church, you've known religion, but you haven't known Jesus. Man, we believe you can know Jesus. We believe he walks with you, he talks with you. It's a journey where you're never alone. You might have come into this place today feeling incredibly alone. If that's you today, I believe Jesus has come so that we might be with God and that he might be with you forever. He forgives your past, he sets up your future, and he walks with you in your daily. And if you want Jesus today, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, a miracle happens. And we're believing today that if we pray for you, that a miracle of faith would happen in your life. And today is your day. That a miracle of faith would rise in your life as you begin to feel those dead and dry parts of your life beginning to come alive in Jesus Christ. A new life. If that's you today, I just want to pray with you. As the band just begins to play, would you stand with me today? Everybody. If that's you today and you want to make that decision to follow Jesus, I want just everyone in the church, would you just repeat this after me together? Everyone in the church, we're just going to pray this out loud. And if it's you today, you're going to make that decision in your heart, then you're going to know this is true for you. Would you bow your heads and let's pray this after me, everybody at once. Lord Jesus, I give you my life again today. Would you take my past? Would you take my pain? Would you take my shame? I give you my future. My talents and my dreams. Would you take my life? Would you make me new? I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died for me. Come into my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer today for the first time, man, that's awesome. And we want to celebrate you, and we want to walk with you in what God's doing in your life. Would you just check that box that says you want to become a follower of Jesus on your connection card so we can pray with you this week and walk with you through what God is doing in your life? Well, we're just going to worship for a few moments here this morning. I'm going to invite the ushers to come. They're going to collect the offering and the connection cards here today. If it's your first time with us here today, we're asking for nothing from you except these connection cards here today. We just want to give to you and serve you today so we can know how to serve you better. Would you fill that connection card out? And our team's going to come now. Let's worship here today.